I'm Andrew Green with this edition of Flick Pick. This past weekend, I saw Countdown at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor. Countdown is the new horror film about an evil app that you can install on your phone. It tells you when you're going to die, and it turns out the thing is accurate. It will also kill you if you try to avoid the fate that it lays out. So, this is our Halloween horror movie this year, huh? They couldn't have waited a few more weeks to put out It Chapter 2 or pushed Dr. Sleep up a little bit? No, this is it. We've got Countdown. Well, great, fine. So Countdown it is. This is our Halloween horror movie this year, a PG-13 film about a phone app. Fine. So I saw Countdown and decided to give it a chance, and here's what happened. I actually liked this movie for about the first half hour. The main character was likable, I liked her would-be love interest, and I thought the star, Elizabeth Lail, was good. I thought, well, you know, it's a phone app that kills you. I guess that could be something. I mean, why not have some scares about tech? That's the world we live in now, right? With Elizabeth Lail as the main character, I thought maybe Countdown could turn into a sort of Happy Death Day situation where the star of the film could be so good as to elevate an otherwise average script into a good movie. And that's what I thought for about the first half hour. Sadly, Elizabeth Lail couldn't be that good in this film, and I don't think Happy Death Day star Jessica Roth could have saved it either. Once this movie hit about the half-hour mark, I became familiar with the pattern it was following. You see, we'd get about 10 minutes of the plot moving forward with our characters saying things and doing things, and I mostly liked that, at least at first, and then we'd get a 5-minute jump scare sequence where it would be in the dark, it would be quiet, a character would be slowly walking around scared, and then blam, a stupid jump scare. By the time we got to the third or fourth of those goreless and rather boring jump scare scenes, I was tired of Countdown, and it only got worse from there. Okay, so here's what happens. Our main character is Quinn. She's a nurse who just earned her stripes at a local hospital in whatever city this takes place in. She meets a young car crash victim who's terrified of going into surgery the next day because his Countdown app has told him he's going to die at that time. Not only that, but he also says his girlfriend just died after being told by the app she was going to. Actually, what happened to that young lady was all shown to us in the film's first scene, so we know it's true. Quinn installs the Countdown app out of curiosity. I mean, who would be afraid to, right? And it tells her she has just days to live. Then the young man she was talking to turns up dead at about the same time when the app said he would. Now, Quinn is scared and starts finding other evidence this thing could be real. Quinn meets a young man named Matt and played by Jordan Calloway. He's also installed the Countdown app, and it's also telling him he's going to die very soon. The two have learned they can't delete it from their phones, and they decide to try to get to the bottom of it. Okay, so this doesn't sound so bad, and it really wasn't. Here's the movie's problems, though. First, the aforementioned jump scare scenes that come at regular intervals. By the time we got to one jump scare scene, I was mad at the movie and wanted to fast forward through it so we could get back to the plot. Then the characters get very stupid, especially Matt. See, the two seek out the help of a wacky priest who is supposed to be funny but isn't, and he's able to read the Latin text embedded within the code of the app. Our heroes are able to hack the app thanks to a cell phone dealer who was admittedly slightly funny. He tried to alter the apps to make them say the two will live a very long time, but then the app corrects itself after a few minutes. Anyway, there's a scene where Matt's Countdown is just seconds away from running out. He's now with the priest and Quinn and her sister, who has also installed the app and been told she's going to die soon. The priest here has done some very convenient research and determined that the app is a curse that can only be broken if you prove its source wrong. The curse will cause a demon to come and kill you if you make any changes to your actions to try to extend your life beyond the app's predictions. The priest says the only way to beat the curse is to prove it wrong by outlasting your predicted death time or by killing someone else before their predicted time is up. So, the priest uses some salt and paint to draw holy words and symbols on the floor in his basement. He also draws a circle around those words. He tells the gang to stand within the circle because the demon sent for them won't be able to cross it. Here we are. The gang and the priest are all in the circle. Matt's got like 10 seconds left to go on his countdown. All he has to do is one thing, and apparently he'll survive, lifting the curse from everyone who's affected. The demon shows up. It tries to cross the salt circle, but it can't. We even see the circle injures the demon. So, the salt circle is working. The priest was right. Matt's got just 5 seconds to go on his countdown. He's gonna make it. But then what does he do? He steps out of the circle because the demon has tricked him into thinking he sees his dead little brother. I wanted to walk out of the theater then and there. I mean, you had one thing you needed to do, Matt. Stay in that circle. We could see it was working, and the character lets himself be tricked with a few seconds left to go. Hasn't he ever seen a horror movie? If a ghost or a demon is stalking you and you suddenly think you see a dead loved one beckoning you to do something you're not supposed to do, then don't do it. It's the ghost or the demon messing with you. Okay, so anyway, once Matt is quickly killed, Quinn and her sister completely abandon the priest's plan, which was, again, apparently working, and go to the hospital where Quinn works. The reason why is because the sister has suffered an injury that didn't look all that serious to me. From this point, the priest is totally out of the movie for good. So, they abandon the plan that appeared to be working when they only have like a half hour left in their countdowns and they go to a hospital. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. That would be like if Reagan's mother made the priest leave at the peak of The Exorcist. Anyway, it turns out Quinn has a new plan. Remember when I told you the priest said the curse could be broken by killing someone else? Well, it turns out Quinn has someone in mind. I didn't mention this earlier, but there is a rapey doctor in this movie. He works at Quinn's hospital and has gotten her suspended for groping her and trying to coerce her into sex. When Quinn says no, the rapey doctor reports her to the hospital board, getting her in trouble. This bit earlier on in the film was so out of nowhere and not in touch with the rest of the movie that it's hard to explain how cringeworthy it was. Anyway, Quinn decides that she's going to kill this guy by luring him into an area of the hospital that just happens to be under construction. Okay, I thought. You know what? This is kind of interesting. I mean, this doctor here is a scumbag, but she is murdering someone. This creates a moral conundrum. Is it okay to kill this rapey doctor who has probably ruined many careers with his perviness in order for Quinn to save herself, her sister, and who knows how many others from the curse? That would have been a good thought exercise, I thought, especially for the teenage audience that Countdown has probably been marketed to. Well, Quinn can't kill the doctor because he escapes, so forget that. Quinn and her sister now have seconds left to go in their countdowns, and so what does Quinn do? Okay, I thought this was interesting. She kills herself. Quinn injects a massive amount of morphine into herself with just seconds left to go, and then she drops dead instantly. Okay, so Quinn kills herself. I thought, you know what? This gives me a tiny bit of respect for Countdown because that's kind of bold. But then guess what happens? Quinn's sister revives her by using a shot of Narcan, and everything is okay again. The demon's gone and they're alive. So, this movie ends with Quinn, her sister, and their father all standing at the grave of Quinn and the sister's dead mother. But then Quinn gets a ping from her cell phone. It's a notification. Countdown version 2.0 has been installed. And then the movie ends. Of course you would end that way, Countdown, with a stupid I'm glad the nightmare is finally over, or is it, twist. Of course you would do that, Countdown, you dumb friggin' movie. The script for Countdown is so bad that not even the decent efforts of its stars could save this one. Completely bloodless, probably as a result of studio interference, it takes what could have been an okay premise and gives us the most middle-of-the-road, completely uninteresting result. The characters do things that are so stupid it's unforgivable, the ending is a cop-out, we get a cheap twist, comedic characters are awkwardly dropped into the movie with no thought of actually making them funny, and the whole thing is literally bloodless. Because this movie is PG-13. That's all not to mention the boring jump scare scenes that are usually just fake-outs. It almost makes me feel sorry for writer-director Justin Deck. I bet he had high hopes and dreams at one point when he got the chance to make this movie, and I'll bet studio notes killed his project dead. This movie is total garbage. Run, don't walk away from Countdown. I give Countdown a 1 out of 5 for this edition of Flick Pick.